You are listening to Journeys on Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Journeys with JP on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, a 115% homegrown organic and fat-free and sugar-free and yeast-free, gluten-free, and everything free on your lips, on Freedom's Lips. If you would like to, if you think this is great stuff, then please drop a coin in the box at freedomslips.com /support, and you can help this station rent the servers and the and all the expensive digital lines and things that you need to run a modern radio station. I keep saying that I run a railway station. No, I don't. I run a radio station. Anyway, tonight my guest is a former guest, a previous guest. We have heard her predictions in the past, and today we are going to be talking about war. Yes, until the philosophy that holds one man over another is finally eradicated, according to Bob Marley, everywhere is war. And so tonight, to discuss this, is a long-time astrologer, Elizabeth Joyce. Good evening, Elizabeth. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm pretty beleaguered, I have to say. I've had migraines this last week, and lots of strange stuff going on, really.
Well, this last week was the first week of darkness. We're in the second week of darkness now, according to astrology.
All right. Well, let's start there.
This has to do with the Sun conjuncting Saturn for the first time since Saturn changed signs. We haven't done this in 3 years. If you remember the last time we had this, we had the financial crisis. I think that was worldwide, Jay. But people are going through an awful lot these 2 weeks. It's very, very dark. And look at Paris and look at Belgium. So
yes,
it's not,
and CERN.
It does change on the 30th of November, thank goodness. So we have an out date as well as an in date.
So this is like the last 3 weeks of this last 2 weeks of Scorpio and the first week of Sagittarius.
Correct.
It's a difficult time because the energies are so abruptly different, aren't they?
They are abruptly different, but don't forget we have other planets that are involved. We went from a fixed sign into a mutable sign, and the mutable sign is happiness, freedom, and I'm going to travel the world, whereas the fixed sign is says my way or the highway. So we've come into a more convenial time, let's hope. I do think that we're going to be seeing more trouble from ISIS this next week.
So you were talking to me previous to the show earlier today, and you would you like me to read this piece, or would you like to
it's
read
just
it?
A little bit of it, but sure, go ahead.
Because it was, you know, and I used it as part of my show notes for the show, because it's really very 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 hang on, what's the word?
Spiritual?
No, apposite. That's the word. You know, it's really, it nails the energy of the time. Let's put it that
yes.
way.
That's what I'm here for, Jay.
Yes, because this is one of the questions I asked you also, and maybe we can talk about it later, is about time itself.
Yes, I have that answer for
yes,
you.
Yes, so that should be an interesting situation. So this is what you posted earlier, which is, you know, it's poetic. It's, anyway. Mm-hmm. How great the darkness in which we are in, and those who are spiritually blind know not that they are in this darkness. For those without eyes see neither night nor day. Two great evils walk upon the earth, the one being the Antichrist, the other being the false prophet. They are not the same, but no difference, because most of humanity recognizes neither one. Yet about 20% of humanity follows the first, and 40% the second. The rest of humanity, what's that, 60%, 40%, is indifferent. So, let's talk about this. Oh, that's your springboard, Elizabeth. On you go.
So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, saith the Lord. That's in Revelation. People are not aware, Jay. If they were aware, they probably would start to begin feeling helpless. At this time, this year, this month, this week, this day, we have great animosity growing among mankind. And they think it's fun. Look at the harassment online. Look at the way people talk to each other when they don't know each other. Look at the hate. Look at the anger. We're so full of anger. But I'd like to talk a little bit more about this dark week, if you don't mind, because I summed it up.
Go ahead.
This week, what has taken place? The largest combined nuclear-capable bomber fight since World War II. Russians, French, and Americans, and others still are against ISIS. This week, for the first time, practiced in Iran for an attack on the temple in Jerusalem. This week, more cities placed on special alert, more laws were passed or activated, giving more special power to the government of more countries than any proposed time in the past. This week, more nuclear weapons moved into forward position and activated procedures shortened than at any time since the Cold War and the peace talks. Every front has become an affront, with threats and blusters by government, military, politicians, and terrorists alike. Who is friend and who is foe? There are not many that know that the weapons that strike the Russians are American-made. No one thinks that ISIS is capable of making its own TOW missiles. The weapons that strike ISIS are American-made. No one expects Iraq, Saudi Arabia, or others to make their own TOW missiles. Made in America, the world's largest arms supplier, finds good business from all sides of war. Russians say they bombed the ISIS people, but Americans accuse them of bombing American allies. Who are American allies? The Ukraine? Enrico Ivanov, the Ukrainian nationalist leader, said this week, ISIS is our ally in the struggle against Russia. Would that not make ISIS an ally of our ally? Who's on whose side? It's important to be on the side of God. Most others are on either side of the Antichrist or on the side of the false prophet. Most readers do not like me to talk about this. It makes them uncomfortable. What is, they say with a shrug. And I respond, what is about to be, will be, very shortly.
I'm tempted to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Or rather...
That's okay.
So, I'll leave it faded up there, so it works. Anyway, so quite a stark message there.
Well, it's true. Unfortunately, this is what we're going to be going through. It's 3.5 years in and 3.5 years out. Yes, there is the light of day, Jay, but we're in it. We're in what everybody has talked about for eons. We're in it. And it was brought about, I believe, from 2012. I think this energy is separating the darkness from the light, and I think it's an attempt by the hierarchy to bring in more light. Unfortunately, we have to go through all of this first. There's such a grip. There is such a grip. Hate has to be abolished.
So, abolishing hate is a process of healing that which causes it.
That's correct.
And that's correct. Does astrology give us any pointers as to which is the way to look at this situation in order to make it better, heal? Does healing make it better, or does it make it worse?
No, healing makes it better. As a soul, you and I have chosen to be here. We are in an amazing, amazing time. The world rushes off to combat, a combat that it cannot win, towards a divine destiny, one that it cannot comprehend. So what I want to say, what I am saying is wake up and understand that the only thing a little human can do is gather close to family, show love, and keep your mantras going. Keep your prayers going. Be of service to humanity. Be of service to your God. Be of service with love, peace, and harmony. And that's all we can do. And the more that gather to do it, the stronger the invisible forces that can be broken down in the jet stream, as they say, in a sense. The invisible forces can be broken down by people gathering together. That's how it works. It always has.
So, it's like the Lord of the Rings at the final battle time when the invisible forces are making themselves apparent and introducing themselves.
They've always been here. And since we've received the new spiritual chakras, which you know my new book is about, and we can start working with them and meditating and using them, we can bring ourselves up higher, higher than mankind has ever known, to get beyond this dark tragedy. We can do it. A lot of people don't understand. They don't want to do it. They don't want to have to bother. They just want to be left alone and keep the status quo. But that's not how this planet works. This planet is a duality planet.
And on the duality planet, this stuff works out because we need to know what duality feels like and that we don't need duality. There's a way.
Right, we're going to break away from it.
Yes,
and so we do have to see why we need to break away from it. That's right, Kirk.
Is that about T-squares and things like that?
T-square is a very difficult time. A T-square brings in a difficult time. An opposition brings in a difficult time. Your trines and your sextiles are the ones that are easy. However, if you look at life the way that most of us, I wish we could, is that every single thing that happens for a reason, and therefore it needs to be blessed. And when we're in our own stuff, it's very hard to look at it that way, but we have loving friends. We have a whole network of people that can really help bring up this planet, Jay. All of our light workers, they are now on double time. I'm telling you, they're on double
time. You're telling
me. They're going to be called here, and they're going to be called there. And they have been trained for years. We started this in 1960. We have wonderful children that have come in. We have our indigo children, our rainbow children, our crystal children that know. And they can do more with the power of light and love than anybody can do with an Uzi. Did you ever try to shoot an invisible and disincarnate being with an Uzi?
Oh, with the music,
that's
right.
Funny.
It's exactly. You just destroy the furniture.
that's true.
You need, and it's not about the fight, is it? It's not about fighting.
No, it's the anger that's going on inside that's causing the fight. I worked with Louise Hay for a long time. You remember that. And Deepak Chopra, they were my teachers. And Louise always used to say, you're never angry at what you think you're angry at.
Exactly.
But unfortunately, some of these ISIS people, because they have not known real love, they've been brought up from babies to learn how to shoot and to learn how to kill. My way or the highway. They don't know any different. You know, 8-year-olds and 12-year-olds can betray the soldiers. They don't know that they're doing harm. They've only been taught to go and respond in a certain way. So that's going to be a difficult thing to overcome in the long run. But we will. We're going to have wars and rumors of wars as well as weather problems. The weather is going to be absolutely chaotic. Which will interfere with a lot of... Pardon?
I mean, it's been like that for...
Oh, I know, but
quite
it's going to get
while.
Worse.
It's going to get worse, all right.
That, and of course, finances. People want to know about finances. Well, how can the market be stable with all of this craziness going on? They're going back to World War II, and they're trying to act the same way, and you can't do it. You know that IBM was very responsible for putting in all the railroads and trains that drove the people to the gas chambers?
Oh, yeah, and they did the databases. They were made right. The first databases. The first databases were the list of people list who were of the Aryan race and who weren't. Also, who were Zionist. And I believe that concentration camp was to concentrate the Zionists and exterminate the rest of the Jews.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have trouble over in Europe first, I believe. I think the Queen has been very wise, and I think Scotland is going to stick with the UK because everything else is going to fall apart. And England is going to be very strong, as well as India financially, because I think that Germany and Finland are going to pull out of the European gathering, and I think that's going to make it fall apart, because what will be exposed is that the leaders that have been collecting the money from the people have stolen it. It hasn't gone back for any programs. It hasn't gone back for any good. It hasn't gone back to help mankind. It's been stolen and pocketed and shipped offshore. That's going to get brought out to the light this next year. And there's going to be chaos. So it isn't only the United States that's going to have governmental changes. Other countries will too.
But you could also say, if you scale that down to the human... How does that work? Is there an internal regime change that is going to go on? This is what,
yes, well, you know,
this is kind of where I'm coming from. It's all from inside, and the war is
right,
inside.
But people don't know that, Jay. They don't know that. They're going to act with their emotions. They're going to act with their gut feeling reactions, and nobody's been trained to go to a higher level. I also think, as I said before, our light workers are going to come out, and I think that they're going to be swamped. I think they're going to be more than Elvis Presley and the Beatles combined, because people have to gather. People have to share with each other, and they have to cry, and they have to help each other. We need to help each other, not put each other down. If somebody makes a mistake, we don't step on them like an ant. We teach them that they've made a mistake and how they can do it differently, and then they grow and we grow. And that's what we need to learn. And we're going to, probably at the expense of many, but we have to.
So this is kind of the, and I think it's been kind of prophesied or spoken about in many texts and books, which is basically evolve or die.
Absolutely, because, you know, hey, guess what, Jay? There isn't any place to go but Earth. We don't have a way off of this Earth. What are we doing to it? We're taking down the trees, we're taking away oxygen, we're polluting the waters, we're polluting the ocean. Fukushima went off in Japan and 50 miles of ocean have dead fish. And we're being told not to eat the fish any longer. We can't have sushi because it's too dangerous. It's too dangerous and it's going to spread. What are we doing here? Making money? Something that's paper? That really has no value in the long run when it comes to human life? What are we doing? Is this crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think?
Well, here's the, people have various ideas about why people are here on this earth. You know, some people regard it as a university, some people regard it as a punishment.
It's not a punishment.
Other people regard it as a trading post. Other people regard it as a manufacturing base. You know, some people regard it as an energy supply, and not
I'd
a
like
lot
to
of them.
Tell you what it is.
Tell us what it is.
It's not my opinion. It's not my opinion.
Whose opinion is it?
It's the opinion of the people that don't live on the planet. From what I understand, there are 7 life-giving planets in this universe. From what I understand, Earth is the most beautiful of all of them. When the soul is out of the body and back in its soul pod, it goes through the lifetimes that it has gone through, and it sees where it's weak, and it gets reborn again into a family and into circumstances that can help strengthen it and help bring it closer to a higher degree of love. So the Earth is that. It in a way, it's a planet in rebellion because it has duality. It has darkness and light. But the soul is supposed to grow towards the light and improve itself. That's why it's been given such a beautiful place to be. But we haven't done that. We've downgraded. And then when it dies, it goes through life review again, and it comes up a notch or two, and it starts all over. It's a process. It's a process to get out of the first universe into the second universe, where there is more love and light. Actually, there's supposed to be 3 universes. And therefore, this place is a growing place. This is where we grow or die, as you said. You can go backwards as well as forwards. It's your choice. We have to learn about choice, and the choice is everything. We chose to be born. We made a decision. That is why setting a condition is so powerful. I talk about setting a condition in Ascension, my book on Ascension, and I talk about setting a condition in seeding and nurturing the garden of your soul. What we think is what we get. The problem is that we don't know how to set an intention, and we don't know how to grow up, and we think we have to take from others to make ourselves look good. Somehow we got that thought process in our bodies. So there is a process to everything, and everything is always in order. And, you know, some of these people you want to strangle when they say, well, it was supposed to happen. Well, not necessarily. It did happen because of decisions, but it wasn't supposed to happen. It was decided that it would happen. That's why psychics work, Jay. We pick up on thoughts, ideas, and motives that are floating around the sky. How did I know that this was going to happen 2 months ago? Why did I write in my predictions, look for Paris, Brussels, London, and maybe Hong Kong, and something about Greece? Why did I write that in my predictions in end of September, beginning of October? Because somebody was already planning it. I thought it was going to happen next year. It happened in November, but I said a year ago that in November of 2015, we would begin to go to war. And it's going to go on until 2022. We're in the heaviness of what is called the mutable years of this century. And if you go back to the other centuries, you'll find the same thing. In the teens of the 1900s, we had World War I. So there seems to be some kind of a pattern. History repeats itself. Do we ever learn? Do you think we ever learn, Jay?
Well, that's the idea of this place, as we were saying before.
Well, yes, but some people don't give it that. It is not torture. It is an experience. The experience of the soul to take back with it learning and processing for its soul school, for itself, and for others. We don't understand it. We can't possibly understand it. Not at this point. Not until we go back.
Okay, so...
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. So we stop. We take a breath. All right, you know, metaphorically and literally. And... So we're kind of, what are you saying, 3.5 years into a 10-year war, you're saying?
Correct.
And the war is between, on the outside, East versus West, Islam versus Christianity.
No, it's between the Antichrist and the false prophet. And the people that are not involved in either one of those have to find God.
So that's only a 40%. And so And that's what they say.
They told me it was less than 5% that are aware of it.
Really?
It's less than 5% of this planet, and that's over 22 million.
All right. Is that you or me? Hang on. Are you touching your microphone?
No.
All right.
Let me ask you a question, though.
Go ahead.
Where would you want to be if you were given a choice to be anywhere on this planet through this time? Where would you want to be?
Well, right where I am, because I've chosen to be here, and it has drawn me here, because this is the kind of place that I wanted to be in.
And you mean Scotland?
Yeah, I've manifested it, yeah, here in the north of Scotland.
I think you're very smart to be there, and I think it's more safe than other places.
Hmm.
I don't know.
It's right near the Queen's
castle.
The castle Balmoral. So they're going to be looking after this area.
Yes, they are. It's a good place to be. I was trying to figure where I would be, and I decided that I wish I could be with the person I consider to be one of the greatest teachers on the planet. But I know I would not be comfortable there, so I'm waiting to get other orders. I always ask to be used for the highest good, to be used for whatever God wants me to be. I always say, put me in my right place, Lord. Put me in my right place. Where can I be the most effective to work and serve you? You're in a good place.
Yeah, well, they told me that. I'm already kind of working. And I have been since I moved in, that there's a dimensional portal here that has been kind of disused for hundreds of years, and it needed to be looked after. So
it was very powerful years ago. It was one of the main centers for... It was more powerful than Sedona and Mount Shasta put together, where you are. I know it is. You asked me about time, and that's funny, because time began when people started to follow the stars, and they started to realize that the sun rises and sets and that the stars change. And the Incas, way back before we had recorded time, used to build their crops up a mountain, and they would watch the rays of the sun, and they would plant seeds all the way up the mountain. So that in January a certain area would grow, in February a certain area would grow, and in March a certain area would grow, and they would have food. They would never run out of food. I just think that's fascinating. And then they had Stonehenge. Stonehenge and the Sphinx and the pyramids in Egypt told time. And they told time by the way the sun fell. Now, it's not necessarily, you know, every week, every hour, every second. I was just talking about how they understood what time was. As a matter of fact, they used to pay their rent quarterly, and they would do it on the solstice and on the equinoxes. The financial year began in March and in September and in December and in June. So I just think that's fascinating, don't you?
So, hang on. Did you say March?
Yeah.
All right. So is that according to the astrological or the lunar?
This is recording. This is the way that they used to do it before astrological and lunar existed. This is how they did it. They did it by nature. They did it by noticing the stars. The great soothsayers and the star readers would tell them. And they had times when they did certain things. I'm not sure why. It was instinct, from what I understand. This was before we started keeping track. The earliest written records are from ancient Babylon, which pressed their information into wet clay tablets. They used time to measure movements of the stars and were pretty good astronomers. Before that, the mythological monuments such as Stonehenge and Avebury or Newgrange in Ireland aligned with the sun and the solstice, and they too were measuring time in years very accurately. Then the others that created the same thing were the Mayan temples and the Incas, and they did it the same way. So that was when we started tracing time.
So, and my question really, when I was speaking earlier about the nature of time and how time is really a kind of construct, it's an explanation of how things progress. And if you can manipulate the way people measure time, then you can manipulate the way people progress. Is that right?
Oh, I'm not sure. I don't think so. I don't think so, because time, to me, our time, our linear time on Earth is not the same thing as the progression of the soul. I know for sure that a soul can compress in seconds, instantaneously. Instantaneously, there can be a change. As soon as an awareness happens and a portal opens. And to me, that's beyond time. Does that make sense to you?
Yep, I hope it makes sense to everybody else.
And I also know that you can be stuck and that you can't move time and that you feel heavy and depressed and upset because you're not in alignment. You know about that.
Thank you.
Pardon?
So, sorry, I've got a mouthful of them.
We started recording time years before our calendars came. And now we have a lot of, you know, the AD and the BC were based on the life of Christ. BC before Christ and AD after death. And that's interesting too.
Isn't it? Because, like, was Jesus born on, it was supposed to be like minus 4 AD or something, you know, it's like, it's a
seven,
very weird
seven, minus
calculation.
Minus 7 AD, yes.
And
well, this
the,
was
what
determined
about the,
by the Roman Empire.
Exactly. And, you know, the Roman Empire, exactly, not the Roman Church.
No, the Roman Empire.
Yeah, so,
keep
the narrative going.
And they dated from the founding of Rome, right?
Why was the founding of Rome?
That's when the Roman Empire was governing, and they were dated everything from the founding of Rome, which was during the early Christian era. Illiteracy was widespread, and so they had to trust on the jesters and the wise men that were literate. And the king even summoned up the wise men when he wanted to make a decision, and he summoned up the astrologers. You know that. That's recorded in history.
The sayers of sooth. And they would, and, you know, it's funny, really, because that's almost exactly what we do today. You know, we've got the sort of the people, oh, yeah, all the big news, you know, all the doom and gloom. And then people listen to the astrologers, and people listen to the comedians. You know,
that's true.
I get my news from the Daily Show. Doesn't everybody? You know, it's filtered for you. It's like, there you see, this is what the talking points are. That tells you in 10 seconds what the government is saying. You know, what the propaganda spin is today. And then talking about how stupid and ridiculous everything that they do is. That hasn't changed forever, has it?
No. And of course, what is life all about and what is the purpose of life? I mean, these have been questions that have been asked since the time of Abraham. And Abraham came in way before Christ did. And the answer, we're here to love and to serve, and we're here to help our soul grow to higher levels. It's not punishment to live on earth. It's a wonderment to live on earth, and I'll tell you why. Because if you came from a dark force and you're trying to recognize light and learn more about light, you go on this planet. And yes, you do live karma. You do live through some things that you did wrong in your past lives in order to learn, in order not to do it again, in order to correct. It's a form of correcting and putting things into a finer, more purified love that we don't understand. It is beyond our understanding. It's beyond our understanding to be neutral. It's beyond our understanding to totally forgive and not let the imprint stay on the body. We don't understand that that's what causes severe disease. We don't understand that worry and concern and unnecessary butting into other people's lives or judgments hurt us. We're not taught that. I have explained it in my book, Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul. Chapter 1 and Chapter 6 are absolutely incredible. The information that came in. Actually, that dropped into my body as an energetic ball of light, Jay. Mm-hmm. And I wrote that book in 6 weeks.
That's where many it's people amazing. Today would have said, you know, that book was channeled.
No, but, I don't like that word.
Yeah,
you know
I know,
that.
Because it's not... that's the way I was just qualifying it.
The book was given, and I was chosen, as a flower is chosen to open to the sun. I was chosen to write that book for whatever reason. Who cares? Maybe I'm the one that would recognize what was being said and put it down on paper. I was chosen to do that, and people are chosen to do a lot of things. You're chosen to be in Scotland and holding the light. Einstein was chosen to do the theory of relativity. There's so many people. You can't get into an ego with this, Jay. You have to just say, this happened, and I did it. That was a request, and there we are. You don't take any unnecessary ego steps for it. You just did it, and you're happy to do it, and you just hope that it helps everybody open their hearts and that they take a step closer to where they need to be, because we're all going in the same direction. We're all going in the same direction. All of us are going to drop the body and die. All of us are going to be assigned to our soul schools. We're either going to go back or we're going to go down. It's one or the other, and it's all by the decisions that we make in our lifetime. And that's awareness. That's living with awareness. That's what we need, Jay.
It's like living the aha moment all the time, rather than just responding as a knee-jerk reaction because you're too tired to consider things.
Yeah, we do get tired. But, you know, living in awareness is a fabulous, fabulous gift. Sometimes we screw up. Sometimes we are too tired and we don't do what we maybe feel we should, and then we always regret it later. But living in the moment and living with clear direction, knowing that you can think about it, talk about it, plan it, draft it up, execute it, and enjoy it, is fabulous. That's a power in itself. And the most wonderful thing that we have are some of our healing modalities. I feel that we're going to have a lot of breakthroughs in medicine next year, which is a positive thing. We need something happy as we go through
please,
this stuff.
Please, please, in the first hour, give us a little glimmer of hope, Elizabeth.
Oh, well, there's more than a glimmer of hope. This is fabulous times. But medical breakthroughs, I'll give you some of them. Scientists will develop a cure for Ebola, and I think that's terrific. They're working on it now, and I'm sensing that they've almost got it. More effective understanding in the treatment for Alzheimer's. More natural treatments found to cure serious ailments. Natural treatments. Weight disorders and obesity, there's going to be a link found in food. And we know it's diet soda. Diet soda makes you crave more food, and diet soda is poison.
I have another theory.
What?
An alternative theory, but a complementary theory. Because, yes,
good.
Diet drinks are deadly, yes. But the my theory is connected with yeast, and it's personal experience. That having cut out yeast, you can then very easily cut out sugar because you don't crave it anymore.
That's right. And you can do that. But you can do that with decision, too.
Yeah. Well, what's then happening is that my body is losing... I mean, I've lost masses amount of weight of essentially loaf. It wasn't fat. It was loaf.
From taking out sugar?
From letting go of yeast and eliminating yeast from my body.
Oh, okay.
Parasitic yeast.
I did it with sugar.
Yeah.
I dropped 25 pounds in a few months with letting go of sugar.
Well, that's because it's the sugar that feeds the yeast. That's
sure,
the thing.
Sure.
But we've been eliminating yeast with medical borax or therapeutic uses of borax. It's a very effective thing. I tell you, I'm so much more healthy. Unbelievably.
Oh, yes.
My girlfriend is just going, why, you're so skinny, you're all disappearing.
I feel that way, too. And the other thing is that that if you purify, and of course if you do change to water and you eliminate something, that you can't say that anything is bad for everybody. You can't say meat is bad for everybody. You can say that it's bad for a lot of people, that affects everybody differently. And some people might not feel that yeast is their thing. They might feel that it's sugar. They might feel that it's something else. But nonetheless, whatever you sense is what you should drop. Right?
Exactly. Well,
I think
I got ill. I got ill from it, and
you
I discovered
Ill.
It. Yeah, I started dousing, you know, is this good for me? No. All right. Well, I better not eat it. And because every time I ate something, you know, a bun or something, I'd get a migraine 2 days later.
A migraine, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, Deepak Chopra wrote a book, and I really honor the book, and he wrote it a while ago. It's called Perfect Health. And he breaks food into three categories, and he breaks down the human body responses, the chemical part of the human body, into different categories. And he said if we could understand it, then we wouldn't have the problems that we have now. But I still believe, Jay, that obesity in the schools in this country are because of diet soda and processed foods.
Oh,
Monsanto
yeah.
is making foods that don't even have food in them. I found out that Pringles are not even potato chips. They don't have a potato in it. They're chemicals.
It's a sort of styrofoam
product. So is Lay's
product.
Potato chips. Yes, and so is Lay's potato chips. It's a sin. So we're going to have new treatments for arthritis and diabetes, medical breakthrough for Parkinson's. I know that's coming because Michael J. Fox has talked about that. And multiple sclerosis, tooth regeneration is going to change dentistry. Isn't that interesting?
Well, this
we're going
is,
to be able to grow back
our teeth. This is all linked because they're all linked by mercury, because mercury is part of vaccinations, mercury is part of dental fillings, and mercury is responsible for a lot of autism and death. And various other, because it's a heavy metal and it's a
yes.
poison,
well,
essentially. And we,
it's what
you know.
The mother eats. It's what the mother eats during pregnancy that causes autism. But I'll tell you something else about autism. Some of autism is because these kids are born with a greater strand of DNA. They have more DNA, more than two strands. And the doctors are seeing that they do, and they're calling it bogus DNA. But when those are activated, and they will be activated at the appropriate time, these kids are going to have extraordinary extra gifts. They're going to have healing gifts, and they're going to have telepathic gifts, and they're going to be able to levitate. This is coming down the road. It's not here yet. But one of the ways to develop yourself towards that is working your new spiritual chakras, which is why I wrote the book.
So let's talk about the spiritual chakras for a second. There are seven regular ones, and you've got five more, which interlock, as it were, with the regular seven, as it were.
Yes, it's very, they're in harmony with it, and they add to the power of the seven. They really pull them up and strengthen them even more. The eighth chakra is above the crown chakra. Then you go to the back of the head to the eight and a half chakra, and that chakra is about filtering, because we have a new energetic application coming into us from the center of the universe called the double helix. And that energy is very, very powerful. And if we walked into it, we would like be electrocuted. So it has to be filtered into the body from the new level of the aura, which is the fourth level. And that's what the eight and a half chakra does. Then the ninth chakra, which is behind the neck, where the base of the spine, where the spine conjuncts to the brain, that's the ninth chakra, and that's probably where you get your migraines from. That one is open. As that opens, it creates a laser light from the ninth chakra out through the third eye, penetrating the pineal and pituitary glands, and there's going to be a powerful healing spot in front of your forehead. So if you put your right hand just about 6 inches out in front of your forehead and you vibrate your hand back and forth, you'll feel that energy beginning. It's fascinating.
Strangely, you know what, Elizabeth? I've looked at my, I look at myself in the mirror, and I've noticed that the right exactly between my eyes is a kind of darkening furrow, but bang in the center. It used to be kind of slightly off the center, but now it's kind of bang in the center with this little kind of dark mark. I wonder if that's something awakening. My bindi is coming out.
What I see when I'm looking at your picture, and this is a new photo of you, I see the light. They said that you will be recognized by the light on your forehead. If you take a snapshot of somebody and they have that bright light in the center of their forehead, they are high meditators. So it's going to wind up being light. The center of the forehead is what's going to be recognizable as to how spiritually developed you are. That's all I mean. And then the other chakras go above. The eighth is the tenth. That's the new heart center. We have a new heart center that will help enliven our fourth chakra, which is the heart center, and bring more understanding. We'll be able to release problems easier. We'll be able to make different and new decisions, not what we were brought up or trained to do. We will be able to make different and new decisions that are for the good of all concerned in any problem that we have. And then we have the 11th and 12th, which of course is where the masters dwell, and in the 11th and 12th dimensions, and that brings in a higher understanding. It also brings in guides and angels and invisible teachers to help guide us, and we're going to be given more spiritual energy and more power, more telepathic understanding, more crystallization of the forces within the body, a better blood flow. We'll stand up straight and we won't have to worry about disease anymore, and we'll help others get there. We'll help others shed their limitations. And that's beautiful to me.
It is. So, we'll be taking a break in about 10 minutes, by the way, so you'll hear this guitar music, so and it doesn't stop. See if we can tidy it up there. So looking through the pineal gland and
the pituitary.
So do you want to talk about the difference between the pineal, the pituitary, and the difference in their locations and their functions?
Well, the pituitary is in the front by the hypothalamus, and the pineal is in, I think that's right. I think the pineal is near the ninth chakra in the back of the head, and the pituitary in the front. The pineal gland is in the back of the head, and the pituitary is in the front. I had that backwards. I knew I did. But it's all spelled out in the book, step by step by step. I'll tell you what I did do. I wrote a new invocation. I don't know if you know the invocation that was written by Alice Bailey in the 1930s.
From the point of light, etc.
From the point of light within the heart of God.
Yeah, yeah.
Let love enlighten earth.
Yeah, I do it, quite a lot.
Well, I wrote one for the spiritual chakras and to open the spiritual chakras. And not only that, I have recorded it. It's available on my website. Richard Shulman plays the music in the background. And if you work with it and meditate with it, you can begin to open your spiritual chakras, which I find fascinating. And that's in the book. This is going to take time. This is going to be an evolvement. It could take 30 or 40 years before all of this really takes hold, Jay. But I do think it's important to have gotten it down in writing and as clearly as I possibly could.
Yeah, you got to lay the groundwork. I mean,
I have laid the groundwork, and I have said how to know when it's out of order, when it's not in balance, when it's not spinning, what you need to replace if it does get out of balance, and how to do healing work. That's all in the book, as well as a chart on the back of the book, and this chart is great. I think I sent it to you before. And the chart in the back of the book lists all the chakras one by one. It shows their colors, and there is a list of when this one opens, what do you get? When the eighth chakra opens, you get compassion, selflessness, a desire for spiritual skills, and telepathy. You're stronger with telepathy. Then the 8.5 chakra strengthens your aura. It raises your vibration, and it begins to allow you to use these new energies, and it creates balance, because that's what the migraine headaches can be. I also have a list in here of fifth dimensional ailments that you need to read through in this book, because it tells you what the ailments are, and it tells you why you have them. And maybe your migraines won't last so much longer because you've already worked through opening your eighth chakra and your ninth chakra. Once you get that head ensemble, as you can see on the cover, you can see that head ensemble, the eighth, eight and a half, and ninth. Once you get that going, then the rest should flow, but it's going to take some time. You can't do it overnight.
Well, yeah, it's very interesting. Frank Jordan, who I produce a program with Frank doing a healing meditation show on a Sunday night. And one of the things that he takes us through is to step back through the brain from the forehead to the different centers.
Yes.
And he's got the soul center and then the spirit center and then the third eye center or the pineal gland. And then, you know, he stepped back, going all the way back to your subconscious mind at the back. Which will be your
right,
eight and
back.
A half, which is...
No, the ninth chakra has the Akashic Records. The ninth chakra holds the Akashic Records, and the ninth chakra holds your past life memories. So the eight and a half chakra just makes sure that you don't get too much energy.
So,
are you there?
Say that again.
The ninth chakra is what holds your Akashic Records. The ninth chakra holds two things. Your Akashic Records, which is every single lifetime you've ever lived, every imprint on your soul, every relationship, every person you've ever met, and all things that have happened in your life. That's your Akashic Records.
Yes.
The Book of Life is the record that you're living in this lifetime, and when you drop the body and go back to your soul school, the Book of Life will become a part of your Akashic Records. And you can change the Book of Life if you can raise your vibration enough to get to the place where you change it, and you change it with decision. It's very interesting. So I'm sure that this work would enhance your partner's work, don't you think?
Oh, we've got all sorts of things that are opening up. For instance, I just went to the bathroom and I have pine wood panels, you know, natural pine, which has knots in it, and mm-hmm. some of them have
like, pine.
Pairs of knots.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when I'm in the bathroom, I look down and it's like someone's looking at me. I look down and there's and I saw two elephant beings today. Just down. And it's like they're really sweet.
Elephants?
Yeah, they're elephant beings, yeah.
Well, elephant beings usually come into your life to take you by the trunk and lift you up higher. They're very, very positive. They're worshipped by people in India, as you know. I had a dream about elephants the other night. I had them turning from red to blue. And I had a lot of them turning from red to blue. And I said, my goodness, Republicans are going to vote Democratic this next year. That's what I thought. But as you know, when you see elephant beings, it's a signal that you're being brought up to higher levels.
I see.
That's fabulous.
Yeah, and it's a couple. It was a male and a female.
Well, maybe that's a relationship or something. Mm-hmm. It could be any kind of a relationship, but it's just telling you that spirit is with you and that this is going to improve, and it's going to improve very wonderfully and very lovingly and perhaps unexpectedly as well.
Let's hope it's nice and harmonious, because I can do with a bit of harmony and space, I'll tell you.
Oh, we all could.
So we're going to be breaking in a minute. While the commercials are running, if people really are drifting away from the commercials and making tea, if they're not, can people go and look at your website? How will they find your material?
Sure, my
and
website.
Also, Elizabeth, a diagram of these new chakras. Is there a diagram? I still can't get this eight and a half.
The book cover has the diagram. And I do think I put the chart under the chakras. Let me explain. My website is www.new-visions.com. New-visions. So there's a hyphen between the word new and the word visions. Then you would go on the website and you would go to the left and scroll down and you'll see a list of, you know, other information. One is called the chakras. And if you work, go in there, you'll see the chakras. I have pictures of all the chakras. And at the bottom, you can read about opening your spiritual chakras. There's also the book cover, and you can go in to Books by Elizabeth Joyce and see the book cover, and there's your diagram on the book cover of the new chakras. Oh. And anybody can email me, and I'll send them a diagram. I'll send them a diagram of the head part of it, and I'll send them the chart that has all the chakra colors and what they bring in.
Excellent. So the colors. Now, when you're working with seven colors, we naturally go to the musical octave and the rainbow spectrum, as we call it.
Right.
With the 12, are you talking about what we? Ah, well, we'll bring that up in the next hour.
Okay.
Somewhere to start. Do the 12 relate to the 7 in the same way that 12 musical notes relate to the 7? You know, la 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 la. See you. Have some nice deep breaths. In through the nose, out through the mouth. In through the nose, out through the mouth. See you in a few minutes, guys. Oh, yes, your host indeed, for your host is JP, and your station is Revolution Radio, 100%. Listener-supported, please visit the site support area in the homepage, freedomslips.com, revolutionradio.rocks, revolutionradio.co. We haven't been able to afford the M, but if you give us loads of money, we would. That's if we haven't spent it all on buying new replacement servers because they've been hacked. Anyway, so my guest tonight is Elizabeth Joyce, and we were talking about the opening up, say, of the new spiritual chakras, which is the subject of your latest book. And that's available at www.new-visions.com. And you can see diagrams of these things on the book cover. So, Elizabeth, where we were going, or where I was taking it, was I'm a big fan of the seven rays, and it's funny enough, my girlfriend, she says there are 12 races that make up humanity. Or make up the Earth Alliance, let's say. Not necessarily.
She's
human.
Right.
So would you like to draw some parallels and discuss, as we esoterically call the law of correspondences, is that if there are seven of something and seven of something else, there's a direct correspondence one-to-one. This applies, therefore, to the 12 chakras, correct?
Well, what you just said is that there were 12 different... areas, what your girlfriend said, there are 12 different races or 12 different vibrations. Actually, they're vibrations. And if you read my book, Ascension Access in the Fifth Dimension, it's explained in detail. But yes, each level would have, we have all 12 of these levels living on this planet. All of them. Even one and two, that's part of what's in the ocean. So we have Dimension 3, which is height, width, and depth, and then Dimension 4 is telepathic and becoming aware, and Dimension 5 is way beyond our knowledge. It's great light. It's perfection. It's a place that we've desired to be, and some of us have been in the fifth dimension when we've had a greatly powerful spiritual experiences, or when we've had a great teacher appear in front of us and give us information. We're vibrating in that level, and then we come back down again, but we always come back a little higher than we were before. So when you get exposed to the higher vibrations or the higher forms of light, you get improved, and your body automatically, from cellular memory, drops things that are no longer needed, and you are allowed to, or you are permitted to, or it does happen in a natural way, have a greater light awareness around you. But I have things. I went back to my Nurturing the Soul. I call it the Garden Book, and I turned to the page that lists part of how you meet your universal spiritual qualifications. And it goes like this: to know, to do, to dare, and to be silent. Because as you do these things, one can never look for recognition, not even subconsciously. You can't go over and cook somebody dinner and be mad that they didn't do it back for you, or be upset that they couldn't go to help you do your laundry the next week. You can't do that. That's not giving unconditionally. So that's how you work with it. But the last of the four is the most difficult of all, and that's being silent. Then we have 6 points of conduct that are especially required to develop desirelessness. And desirelessness is when you get to where the Buddha got, and that is total neutrality, accepting everything flowing like the weather, like this is a day, and at the end of this day, I always thank the day, and I go, it was a wonderful day. Thank you for the day. No matter what my worries, no matter what my troubles are, no matter what's getting me down, I'm always thankful for a day and what happened during that day. And I do morning meditation, hooking into the energies, and I do nightly review, where I thank for the day, and I'm very pleased most of the time with my days, and life gets better if you do that. So the 6 points of conduct are self-control with the mind, self-control with your actions, tolerance, cheerfulness, one-pointedness, and confidence. How many times do we do things because somebody else may tell us to do it, but we're not sure if we should have? Isn't that true, Jay?
Well, it's interesting. It can be quite empowering when somebody asks us. In fact, that's what I find. That's how my soul grows, is when somebody asks me to do something that I've never done before, and that they believe enough in me that I can do it, that I'm actually able to do it, because they can see that soul quality before I can.
Yeah, that's neat. I think that's what happened to me when I started working with Richard and when I started writing, because I didn't start writing books until 2007. So that was interesting.
Everybody's got to start sometime. Was that in your chart, by the way? Can you trace
yes,
that to
was.
Your chart?
It was in my chart for a long time. And
what
I
was
never,
the aspect?
Well, Jupiter and Gemini in the 7th house is one of them. And then I had my sun and my moon in my 3rd house, squaring Jupiter and Gemini. Gemini, of course, is your writer. And the sun and the moon is how you express yourself. So that was the aspect.
Ah, right.
But the interesting part about it was that I knew I was going to be writing in 4th grade. My 4th grade teacher says, you're quite a writer. You should go to Princeton, which I didn't do. And even when I was in a community college trying to get an accounting degree, the English teacher, I walked into the English room for English, and they said that you had to read 6 novels. I had read all 6 of them. So I went up to him, and I said, well, I've read all 6 of these. Do I really have to come to class? And he said, well, you have to write a paper at the end of the semester and give it to me. And I said, well, let's see, how about Why Revenge Doesn't Work on Second Generation Children, taken from Great Expectations and Charles Dickens' book. And he was blown away, because that's what I did. I wrote the paper and that I had gotten from the novels. So I've always been a writer. When I had my out-of-body experience and my husband, who had passed away, was speaking to me telepathically as I floated through the tunnel of light, he sent me back. He said, you have to write. You have to write. And I'm surprised that it took this long. I thought I would do it way before now. I've always written articles. I've always written magazines. I even had my own magazine online. But I never thought I'd be writing these books like this. And I've written 1 a year.
And does the writing support you?
No.
Okay.
But that's okay.
That's okay. It's a slow build-up, these things, you know.
First of all, when you write a book, it's here forever. Second of all, my books are on Amazon.com, and they can be ordered through Barnes & Noble. And third of all, it takes word of mouth to get them out. And as you evolve, as you write, of course, you evolve. The best book I've ever written is Ascension, Accessing the Fifth Dimension, followed by The Garden Book. But the book of the century, the book that is going to go down in history, is the new spiritual chakras and how to work with them. You wait and see. Because it helps everybody in every light work possible. The what it's telling you is what they are, how to work with them, open yourself up, and grow up to the higher vibrations of love. That's what the book is about. It will be a blockbuster. It may take a year, it may take 2 years, but it will happen.
It's good to know that it's the value of regular effort. I think I read somewhere, you know, it was one of these esoteric books, and there was like, there's all these little, you know, the law of this and the law of that, and I don't know them all, and it's like I pick and choose there. I'm very familiar with the law of correspondences, as I explained, that, you know, if you've got three of something and three of something else, there usually will be a correspondence. If you've got seven and etc. There are all these other laws, and in fact, I was speaking with Alex Collier. We did an interview, a webinar at the weekend. And one of the things he talks about is that when the Andromedans educate their children, they follow what he calls the law of consistency, which means that their children are educated with the top knowledge straight away. They don't go through the same old, well, this is how the ancients thought, and then this is how these thoughts, and then comes up through the, you know, they don't go through all the BS. They just go straight to what's real, what's true. Here, this is the truth. There you go. As far as we found so far, this is the way it is.
And that's the way they educate. In my garden book, I say there's three truths. There's your truth, there's my truth, and there's the truth.
That's right.
But I also talk about something else that is very important. You talk about spiral and astrological charts and learning and growing. We all go through something called the three great tests. And this is chapter 6 in the garden book, Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul. There are, let us be of good cheer, however, and remember that the misfortunes hardest to bear are those that never come. That's what we do with our mind. We worry. What if this and what if that? If everything happened that we worried about, none of us would be alive, Jay. Anyway.
The commercial just said, you know, fear does not exist, you know.
You make it with your decisions and your worries. The three great tests are the test of power, the test of self-righteousness, and the test of wealth. And they come to every one of us somewhere along the upward climb. These tests will be met by every man who remains on the middle road to the light and walks far enough. You have to go through these three great tests to test your character, because your character is what goes back with you after you pass. Your character, you're here to develop character. It's very hard to stay on the middle road and to develop character. And by the middle road, I mean this. You're walking down a road of light, and you see skirmishes on the left and skirmishes on the right, and you have to decide whether you're going to allow yourself to be pulled into them or not. That's walking the middle road. When you get that strong, that you don't just have it happen chemically because of a knee-jerk response, but you choose whether you want to have words with somebody or let it go, whether you want to tell somebody no or what your true feelings are. You don't have to, because the gift of silence is a wonderful thing. You don't have to hurt somebody else because you don't agree with them. You can just use the gift of silence. But these tests do come, especially self-righteousness. That's all about the ego. See me, I did it. You have to let me know that you know I did it. You know that little one, Jay?
No, it never happens. I spend most of my radio airtime doing that. Well, no, not really. I try not to. That's why I try not to speak too much, just in case that sort of stuff starts pouring out. No, just to keep it, you know, keep it to myself.
See, the gift of power comes when one is granted the feeling and knowledge of the power vested in him, accepts that position, then gives the power and glory to himself. It's like if you're a healer and somebody gets healed through your work, you say, well, if I wasn't in your life, it wouldn't have happened, or I did that. Not true. What really happened was your chemical light aligned with theirs, and something was let go of because of that chemistry. Everything is electrical and everything is chemistry. We know that. That's true.
Yep.
So you didn't do it. Spirit did it. Spirit brought that person to you, had that person call you because they had a feeling inside to do that. You accepted it either because you really wanted to help or you may have needed the money. And you did the healing and they were healed. That was all decisions, but it happened from the divine, because they wouldn't have ever called you in the first place if they hadn't been urged inside.
And that's the sort of thing that Spirit organizes.
Right.
And
that's one thing about Spirit. They're very, very organized, and everything happens in order. And they can be very slow sometimes, and we get so impatient. But we can't have a change until we're ready for it, Jay.
Exactly. Well, one of the things that you know, just winding back a second, is it's all about things being in order and being in right relationship with each other. You know, when I talk about right relationship, I'm talking about, for instance, the relationship of the hose pipe to the hose head. You know, the pipe comes first and then it comes out of the head, and that's the right relationship. You understand? So the water travels through the pipe and to the head, and then gets sprayed out of the head. That's the order of things. You know,
right.
Things happen in that order.
And I love divine setups. I talk about divine setups all the time, and they happen continually. And things happen to people because of decisions. They say, oh, you're in the wrong place in the wrong time, and you got hurt. Well, you decided to be there. You made the decision. And if people could start to understand this, we might have some more peace in the world. So let me talk about the test of self-righteousness. The test of self-righteousness comes to every individual who seeks to fulfill the law of righteousness. There will come a moment in your life when you desire to show and bring forth the power of your new, I can do the light, or I can do this, or I can do that. It might be even through publicity. A moment which he will desire all to but behold his high place, and he will desire to stand in the glory of the light, saying, I did this, I am great. A lot of our leaders do that. They abuse their self-righteousness with power. Instead of saying, it wasn't me, it was the glory of God. It wasn't me. I didn't help you cure lockjaw. Someone else did. A force, a power beyond our understanding happened. That really did happen to me. I had a lady come that had lockjaw for 6 years, and I put my hands on her face and went through 15 minutes of inner healing work that I did in my mind, and when I dropped my hands, her jaw fell, and she hadn't eaten solid food in 6 years. And she wanted to bow down and bow at my feet, and I said, don't do that. You can't do that. And she said, you're a holy woman. I said, no, I'm not. I'm serving God. I want to thank you for having the courage to drop whatever it was that locked your jaw. Through that force or whatever came through both of us, and she felt it as much as I did, you were able to drop your jaw. Your prayers were answered. I serviced you by bringing you the light that could do it. That's what I said to her.
It's interesting to note along that line that Pope Francis just kissed a little boy on the head and he suddenly became well.
Oh, that baby.
Yeah.
Actually, that was beautiful, wasn't it?
So, you know, it can often be one's expectation of what may happen is what drives the thing to happen, rather than any inherent...
And, of course, it was all a divine setup, because the Secret Service agent was friends and turned around and took the baby and held him up. You see that? He was another servant, and the Pope kissed him on the head, and he knew exactly what he was doing. The Pope knew that he was removing something by doing that.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful. Just so perfect. Then the third one, of course, is the test of wealth. And the test of wealth will come to anyone that becomes a little bit famous or has worldly possessions will be within the power of every man who ascends into the heights. So what we don't do is we don't trust that we're going to be taken care of. Sometimes this is very lonely work, and sometimes there just isn't enough money because you're not in an area where people know to come to you, or they're not educated enough. There's just not enough people that, you know, the healers, they don't make much money sometimes. But they're always taken care of in one way or another. Always. They're watched over and protected. So the test of wealth comes when you have to choose. Well, what do I want? Do I want wealth, or do I want to continue in this work? So, I mean, I had that my whole life because I left corporate work in 1985, I was in aviation, and I left it, and I just did this work. And I would work part-time if I needed to pay bills, but I would go back to this work. I never let anything swallow me up so that I walked away from doing the healing and the gift of psychic work. I've done that my whole life, which is probably why I could write the book and describe it. And we're all tested. We're tested time and time again. It's not just once. They come around in cycles.
So the test of wealth is...
Yes.
Is how does that express itself?
By being greedy, by saying that... I can give you a lot of examples, but I probably shouldn't. By understanding that if you're going to go out and talk to people, supposing you're well known and you get $30,000 to go out and speak, but a small church in California wants you to come and deliver their Sunday message, and you learned that through a friend of yours, and there's a lot of needy people, poor people there. Would you charge $30,000, or would you just go?
Depends if I'm Bill Clinton or not.
Well, there's a lot of people like that.
Indeed.
I know a few of them. And then there's others that would go in a minute, in a heartbeat, and wouldn't even think about money. That's the test of wealth. It's an example of it. But it happens in all forms and in all ways. You know, it's the kid, the guys that don't want to work, that kidnap children, call their parents and demand a ransom. That's another test of wealth. And of course, you know that's very negative.
Yeah.
So how are we living our life? Are we living our life using our talents, using what we were born into, and learning more about what other talents we have and spreading that out into the world? Or are we taking from others all the time? There's always the givers and there's always the takers, Jay. You know that's true. And I can tell right away when I see people in my group which ones are the givers and which ones are the takers. It's so easy to see. And I just always hope that the takers will start to open up and understand what's really going on.
I would love to read the rays of those who you see as givers and who you see as takers.
I read the astrology and it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, so it would probably reflect because the rays are the kind of condensation of astrology.
What are the two colors that you would consider, there's always two, that would show a little bit of greed in your rays?
The sixth ray is the one that you can always blame. The third ray is manipulative.
Mm-hmm.
And the sixth ray is, it's like that Neptunian selling the dream.
Okay.
Yeah.
So mine is Scorpio and Leo in the chart. Scorpio and Leo together create a me first only.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I can go look it up, and it's every single time, just about every single time.
Interesting.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In fact, it's...
I think the astrological chart is so important because it really does show character. And for you to develop your character and eliminate that which you came in to deal with is why you're here. That's why we're here. Why am I here? What's my sole purpose? Your sole purpose is to develop character. Honesty, trust, and caring. Go ahead.
So today, yeah. So now let's see. Have we covered the thing? So we've covered the 12 and the
the spiritual chakras.
So I always say sh instead of ch, and I know it's not the same word, but it's like saying horse and horror or something like that. Anyway, meanwhile, we've got the beaming through the third eye. So you were talking about how the spiritual chakras are interacting, and how they what are the colors that are involved with these?
You're going to find out this interesting because your color has changed. The solar plexus is now
my color has changed
green, and the heart center is yellow. But I've been teaching that for years, and I asked a great yogi who worked with the Dalai Lama if I was right, and he said I was, and how did I know it? And, you know, these lamas that lived in Tibet would meditate up on a mountain and just eat a quarter bowl of rice a day, and that was their life, and what they were doing is holding the light and helping to hold up mankind. But they knew the spiritual chakras. They've always been secret. And anyway, that has changed. So the solar plexus now is green and the heart center is yellow. The eighth chakra is clear quartz crystal. And that balances the diamond on top at the 12th center. So clear quartz crystal. The 8.5 chakra is an amber light with angels there to help bring in the amber color from the fourth level of the aura. And the ninth chakra is magenta. Have you been thinking about magenta? I'm seeing that it's been used now a lot in the new fashions, and I think that's pretty neat. And then the tenth chakra is your amber, a golden yellow amber, and you can run a rainbow from the tenth chakra down to the fourth chakra, which is your heart center, and back again, almost like an egg or a circle, and that will really lift you up love-wise to higher awareness and understandings. The 11th chakra is a deep aqua, beautiful aqua color. And the 12th chakra is clear diamond. It's diamond, so it's clear. And that's where the great masters dwell, in that dimension.
So from what I understand you're describing here, it's like the next octave up,
yes,
and then brought down into the body.
The next octave up is allowed to flow down into the others,
yeah,
to bring them eventually up as well.
Yeah, so it's
the
like
lower octaves will disappear, and the higher octaves will go even higher.
Yeah.
Can you understand that?
I'm just about getting it. I wonder if my audience are getting it. So do you want just to kind of iterate that in a different way, just to draw a picture for everybody?
Okay. Let me think for a moment. We can use dirt and we can use a hose. You have a stick that you've stuck into the mud, and the mud is halfway up the stick. If you take the hose and you start at the top of where the mud is, you will see it start to release, and finally you might get down to the bottom. But down at the bottom of the stick, there's always a darkness. There's always a darker piece of mud. So what I'm saying is that the darkness that we've been in, the limitations, the judgments, the self-recriminations are going to begin to evaporate and disappear, and we're going to start thinking differently, making different decisions, and raising our consciousness. That's why we have all of these teachers out giving us affirmations, telling us about light, telling us what to do, how to think, how to be. But we're going to start doing that for ourselves, and as we do that, the impulses that are dark will leave, the wanting to harm, the wanting to murder, the wanting to take from somebody else. You won't have to. You won't even have that desire because you'll be so happy where you are, there will be no thought of it. And everybody will be able to start doing what they are here to do with their attributes. It's like the little child that says to you, maybe someday a test will be found or a cure will be made for the cancer that I have, and it'll be gone just like that, and our problems will be solved. That's what it's like, Jay.
So we're talking about the manifestation of our wishes, of our intent.
And living the life of freedom from duality, freedom from darkness, freedom from judgment, freedom from hate, with the knowledge that every person that comes into our life comes in for a reason, and we've called them in to learn some kind of a lesson. And what is that lesson? So that if something negative does happen, we can sit with it and say to ourselves, how did I bring that to myself? And you might learn something from within you that needs to be healed. And you might learn something about the combination of the both of you. I mean, all chemistry isn't good. There's some things that you put with other things that will kill you. For example, Clorox and ammonia. You can't put them together. But yeah, this
that's
is
a nice combination. I was actually poisoned by chlorine when I was a kid.
I can believe that. Well, you know, they tell the baby, when you have a baby, you can't have ammonia and Clorox in the same cabinet because they could accidentally mix it. You have to be very careful. So anyway, you just learn what is right for you, and what isn't right for you is okay, because it's right for somebody else. It's just not right for you. And that's okay. I hope I'm getting through to what I mean to say.
Yeah, well, I mean, the message that you're giving is, you know, it's the same message in your expression of, you know, this is the ascension process, and I speak about it in just about every show, you know, all about the rays and everything like that.
But the one thing that's very important, Jay, that I am finding is lacking in some of these teachers and some of these people is discipline. They don't like discipline. Like I said in my little dissertation about war earlier, people don't want you to talk about it. They don't want to take responsibility. We must take responsibility. And they don't want discipline. They don't want to be told that they're doing it wrong, or that they're not doing it correctly, or that, you know what I'm saying? You have to have discipline. Discipline comes from the word disciple. And of course, every single person that anybody prays to, whether it's Krishna, Buddha, Allah, or the Lord, all disciplined their disciples. And they said, no, you do it this way. There are laws. There are spiritual laws that must be obeyed. One of them is gossip. One of them is judgment. And that's discipline. And to think that you don't really have to do it and you can get away with it isn't true.
And this isn't just discipline like, you know, doing exercise every day or stuff like
no.
that.
Or, no, no,
this,
no, no.
This is about being
how
able to be, well, to be, you know, basically that the committee that you have hasn't got any drunkards that are walking in and shouting everybody down, and bullying and dominating. That it's a good council. That
well, let's use that as an example. Suppose you're out and these people are drunk and they're coming over and they're having a party. Oh, come join the party, blah, 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 have a drink. And if you're disciplined, you will not do that. It doesn't mean you can't laugh and enjoy what they are and where they are, but you don't have to partake of what they're doing. That's discipline. It's not right or wrong. It's not good, bad, or evil. It's not that if you take a drink, you're going to freeze up into a frog. No. It's just that your choices.
It's a result. That's what you just do. It's the result of a choice,
right?
That is intelligently made, because you're not just trying to get along with the crowd.
You don't want to go there. You're enjoying them and their fun, but you don't have to be a part of that. And this is how the higher teachers would work with the lower vibrationary people. Somebody would go to the feet of a guru and they would ask a question, and the guru would say, go meditate on it for a day and then come back and re-ask it. And they would come back and say, oh my goodness, I got the answer inside when I meditated on it. Instead of answering the question and saying, you dumb, stupid thing, why didn't you know that? They teach that you can find the answers, and that's just a perfect example of what I mean by discipline. We need to discipline our children differently. We don't discipline our children correctly, and we have 7-year-olds over here running the house. The parents are afraid of them. because they have temper tantrums and they throw things and they take scissors and chase their mother around the house. I knew a little child that used to slap his mother's legs all the time. He wasn't disciplined. So I'm sure I could find an example everywhere.
Exactly. So,
but luckily, the book Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul explains all that.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows you these walking the middle road or going out into the fray. As I said, you have to choose. You know, they say you have to pick your fights. Well, that's really true in a sense.
Yes.
Although you don't really want to fight, you have to pick your fights. Sometimes you get overwhelmed and you're not even aware that you're in the middle of one. I certainly have had that happen.
So, in the final 20 minutes, we've got some, you've got some predictions.
I said most of them, I believe.
Have you? Are there any left? This is what, you know, are there any left
well,
in the bottom?
Give
me some, have you got some good, oh, the weather, all right, okay. I was just going to say, have you got any fluffy ones for last?
We'll save the... talk about Prince Charles. Prince Charles has really something medical going on, and I don't know how much longer he's going to be on the planet.
All right, the man who'll never be king.
He'll never be king. It's not in his astrology to be king. And I think that it might be because there's something wrong with him physically. So that's one thing that I said. And I was talking about the weather and how the weather was going to be very chaotic in certain areas, and that we would have to deal with that. And I was talking about, do you know about fracking?
Fracking, yes.
They're fracking, and the seismic readings are causing the earthquakes. And I think that's going to be discovered, and maybe they'll start changing that. And then I see a cold early fall. I see August bringing hurricanes. Now, this is something that came that you may not know, Jay. Hurricane Patricia and the tsunami in Indonesia were two of three events that are happening on this planet that have been devastating. Is that not true? They said that Hurricane Patricia was like a Category 8 or a Category 9 hurricane over in the Pacific. Did you hear that? Did you know that?
No.
Yes, they did. And, of course, you know the tsunami not only affected Indonesia, but the lower part of India. And there's one more coming, and we don't know when, but it promises to be the most vengeful and destructive weather on record. So that's something that's... And that all comes from what we put into the atmosphere. Then you know George Clooney. He and Amal, they're going to have a baby. They have a son. And then Kate is pregnant again with a daughter. So that's exciting. Apple is going to have a new television, a digital screen that corrects for vision. So while you're watching TV, you're not going to need eyeglasses. You can just turn something, and it's going to correct for vision. I think that's fascinating.
That is... hopefully they're not using neural implants to figure this out.
I don't know. I think it's done by remote control.
Yeah.
That's what I was seeing. The Panama Canal is going to expand, and India is going to complete the construction on the Dibang Dam, and the world's first lunar tourist ship is scheduled at the end of 2016. And guess what? I see Hilton building a hotel in space. Do you believe it?
That sounds like many, many films that we've already seen. So, you know, particularly my favorite film almost of every time is The Fifth Element, which was basically an enormous cruise ship in space. You know, essentially the same sort of idea. Yeah.
That's pretty funny. Well, that's what I was saying. And I do see the passing of a couple of leaders this next year. But for the most part, if we can just hold the light and take care of our status quo and our wives and our husbands and our families without hurt, hate, and fighting, we're going to be fine, don't you think? We really need to concentrate on tightening up the family. We should go back to the Sunday dinners, and we should go back to family values and not be everywhere. You know, now I have a friend that owns a restaurant in New York, and it's $100 a plate, Jay. And these people come in, romance, and they had the roses and the candles. They don't have that anymore because all these people do is sit and text. They hardly look at each other through a meal. And they're on their phones and they're on their texting. Everything has changed. So there's no unity anymore. There's no coming together. Two souls as one. People having an understanding of each other on a deep, deep level. I feel that that needs to be changed, especially with our children. Don't you agree?
We need greater depth of relationship indeed. And we need to know what is right relationship. And the, you know, some people say that the man should be dominant, and other people say the woman should be dominant. And how about saying that spirit should be dominant?
That's true, because I do think that it changes back and forth. I think sometimes the woman will have the answer, sometimes the man will have the answer. And it should be spirit. What brings balance? What is the best for all concerned? If you have that as your focus, then you're going to avoid a lot of unnecessary upsets. That's sure. That's for true. And I think we're going to be living differently in the next 20 years after we get through this war. We're going to be living differently, and we're going to appreciate things more. We're not going to be as destructive, and we'll find alternatives to that which has us comfortable now.
So
we'll find alternatives to oil, and we'll find alternatives to other things.
Exactly. What is the energy that fuels the war, and how does it end? Because there's always some, you know, the flame underneath the cauldron.
Yeah, there is. You know, you do know that there is people that choose darkness. They refuse the light. Light makes them uncomfortable. Certain music makes them uncomfortable. A lot of these people would never listen to classical music, which is, of course, very high music. And they just want to have the drums and the beating and the darkness and the I'm going to do this to you and I'm going to do that to you. That's how they're taught. So they're choosing darkness. And darkness is what causes wars. When Russia goes into the Ukraine and starts taking land and blows up an airplane or two, and they start taking land because of greed, because of whatever natural resources or fossils are there, that's their reason. They don't care about the people. They want to go in and get the natural resource. They want to get uranium or plutonium or whatever it is that makes nuclear bombs. That's why they want the Ukraine. So they go in, they destroy the country, and they kill the people. And to what end? If we drop a nuclear bomb and blow up the Earth, we also blow up the solar system, the sun, and it reverberates through space. It's what people don't see. They don't understand it. We did it once. We did it in Japan, and everybody learned. So why are we continually improving and building the bombs? Because we can? What are we finding out about it, Jay? What's the point?
So, the flame beneath the cauldron, as you say, are the Satanists, essentially.
Is darkness.
Mm-hmm. And
I mean, supposedly, I don't know if you know the story, but it is written that there was an argument with God, and that one-third of the angels left. They challenged God because they said that they could have as much power as he has. So they left, and he banished them to the first universe, which is where we live, and he gave them planet Earth and some other solar systems. Supposedly there are 7 Earth-like planets in this solar system where there's life. And he said, okay, now you are in a universe of polarity where there's darkness and there's light, and the people are going to have to choose. And now this is supposed to be the final battle, World War III, that is started by Russia, as it was written, it's been written in eons ago, is the final battle, the apocalypse, between light and darkness. And although evil may be thrown down and cast out for 1,000 years, it's going to be hell to get there, as you know. They say 1/3 of the earth will be gone. It's going to be gone through killing, and it's going to be gone through weather. We're supposed to be in a warming up phase, but there are some people that think we're coming into an ice age, and I guess that that depends on what side of the planet you're on. Because according to law, according to what was written, which I call law, way back in the time of Abraham, this planet is supposed to burn up. He said he'd never destroy the earth by water again, but he could destroy it by fire. And that's already started. We have so many fires that are out of control. It's just amazing. It's very sad. Look at the earth that's been burning up. Washington, California, Australia, and I'm sure there's other places as well. So I don't know how to stop it. Certainly one person can't. It has to be the unity of everybody, don't you think, Jay?
Yep. So it's getting beyond this. All right, well, okay, so let's again match some numbers. You're saying 1/3 of the earth will be destroyed.
Destroyed, yes.
1/3 of humanity will be left.
Yes.
So that means 2/3 die.
No, 1/3. 1/3 will be destroyed.
1/3 will be destroyed.
1/3 is what he.
So
Lucifer took. Lucifer took 1/3 of the angels. So it's 1/3.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So I'm bringing back your statistic earlier, because one of them is following the Antichrist. One of them is following the dark prophet.
The false prophet.
Yeah. 40% can see above the thing, or don't care. You know, I would imagine that there was a similar division in that last group of those who don't care and those who are aware.
Well, they're going to start being aware. Remember what I said also, that might be where it is now, but these people are going to wake up. There's a lot of them that will, and there's a lot of them that will go to the light workers, Jay, that have been training since the 60s. They're here, and they're ready, and they will be found everywhere, and they are going to come to the forefront. The meek will inherit the earth, you know that. And the true ones that are in the service are the ones that will be able to help and serve. And the ones that are totally in the greed, take the people on Wall Street. For example, the ones that are totally in greed are the ones that will be destroyed. If the market crashes, are they not destroyed? Isn't that a divine plan as well? We all want the status quo. We want to be able to pay our bills. We want to win the lottery. I mean, this is what you hear from everybody. They won't talk to their father or mother, but they want to win the lottery. Does that make sense?
I get you. And actually, I have a question that has come in.
Okay.
And it's about this, because you're an astrologer. And the question comes from listener Curios. JP, does Elizabeth have any sense about the economic status? When will crash happen?
Well, it begins in 2016, but it really gets bad 2017 to 2019. I don't know if there's a crash. We've had many of them. We haven't had just one. But as I said, the European government is going to pull away. That's going to be first. And then we'll have problems in China. China is going to go broke. They already have lowered the value of their money. And they're going to look to go into have Russia help them. And then we have our country. We have to start bringing things back that we sent overseas to do cheaper. A 12-year-old gets 5 cents an hour? Isn't that a little ridiculous?
There's a lot.
Much going on. And this trafficking, human trafficking, I think, is one of the worst crimes in the world.
Well, you know, this is all connected with, and let me see what your idea on this is. Is all connected in my research to the idea that the Nazis never lost the war, and that the they were filleted out of Germany to Russia and to America to become NASA, which I call Nazis are still active. So, and they're underground in Argentina and in Antarctica.
Yes, but you're not looking at it from a higher perspective. If you look at it from a higher perspective, it's like taking a mound of dirt that was together doing a very bad thing that could have blown up the world, as you know, and spreading it out all over. That's true, but that's what happened when Lucifer took this over anyway. So what's happening is that there's been enough darkness around the world to bring it back together again chemically. So it could have stayed there, Jay. It could have stayed dissipated. But because of the darkness and because of people's choices, it has not. And now it's all going to get caught up with. You know, we have Donald Trump over here, and I'm mentioning him because I do respect what he says when he talks about the government has lied to you. You have not had honesty. No, there's a lot of things that he says that I don't like, of course. But he's trying to tell us why and how we have been lied to. And we have. And it's good for that to come out to the light. So I think this is coming back. I also think that it is destiny. World War II was World War II. Now we're going into something far more lethal, far more dangerous. And you know, America thinks they're going to win, but I told you before, ISIS has more money than God, more money than India, China, the United States, and the United Kingdom put together. So
yeah, because it's run by Israel.
It's going to be really scary.
Mm-hmm.
Israel? I thought it was run by the Arabs.
Well, Israel, Saudi Arabia, and the Rothschilds.
But not the Jewish people. It's not the Jewish people.
No. Sorry.
The Israeli government,
in the same way that the American government is not the American people, you know.
When I was a little girl, my mother was one of the greatest shamans that ever lived, my grandmother, and she was loved in all of the New England states, and that's where she grew up. And she told me things. She said the yellow will rule the white, the Christians will bow to the east, they'll take to the hills, and anybody that's different will be beheaded. She told me this when I was 5 years old. She told me that money would disappear, that everything was going to be done with credit cards. She didn't know the word credit card, but she said everything's going to be done differently, electronically. And she told me something else which was really interesting, that the old man of the mountain that's in Conroe, New Hampshire, would fall off of the mountain. Now, when we were little kids, we used to go and see it every summer, and we loved it. But she said, it will fall off, and you will know. She said, I will not be on the planet, but you will know that that's the beginning of the last days. And it fell off in 2003. So I was brought up, this was hammered into me, and it's all happening. It's all happening now.
So you're watching it play out exactly?
I'm watching it play out, as she said. And, you know, of course, I've inherited a lot of her gifts, which I really bow down and feel very grateful for.
So you come from a line of shaman?
I do.
Do you want to talk about that a bit?
Well, she was part Indian up in Maine, and they were spread out all through Nova Scotia, Maine, and New Hampshire, and Vermont, and then people came from England on the Mayflower and mated with them, and that's my family. So I was trained and taught when I was five, I had TB. That was a divine plan, and I had to leave my home in New Jersey and live in New Hampshire for a year in order to heal. And that's when she trained me.
So that's interesting that it often takes a crisis of some kind to awaken the spirit within.
Well, I call that a divine setup. Because when I went back home, I was a very different person. And I never felt a part of the family that I came into. I came into a family of two sets of identical twins. And my twin and I were opposite. We did not get along. And it was very, very difficult for me. And I also came in psychic, not knowing I was psychic. So, for example, we had a maid when I was little, and her name was Sadie. She was a great lady, and her niece would pick her up from work on a Friday afternoon, and her niece always came in with the newspaper. I was about 8 years old, 9 years old. And she would sit me down in the living room while they were waiting for Sadie to finish up. And she would say, let's talk about the horses. Well, I love to talk about horses because I loved horses. And she would read me names, and she would say, which one is the best one? And I would tell her. And she'd read me a list of maybe seven different names, and they would always win.
Elizabeth Joyce, thank you very much. New-visions.com. Good luck. God bless.
Thank you.
Catch you soon.